plans for our touring break. And,
Miller?
I'll be hanging out here, swimming.
Eva? I will also be here, just relaxing, I guess.
Gustafson?
I'm gonna be writing my thesis.
Rasmussen?
Going to the happiest place on earth, Disney World.
Oh.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Peterson?
I will be going to San Francisco.
Whitlin?
Going to be here.
Lanish? Jenny?
I'm going to Texas.
Karen?
I'm going to try and start As I Lay Dying by William Faulkner, and then I'm going to finish Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Calm?
I'm going to try not to die.
Miller?
Jungle? If it's possible, I'm going to try to road trip down to Florida and see my grandparents.
Seattle?
I'm going to be growing my beard.
Same applications for summer programs. Mayhem. Salve. Thrash.
I don't have PT, so I will also be growing my beard.
Wagner. Johnson.
I'll be driving to Florida.
Branch?
I don't quite know what my plans are yet.
Weiss?
I should take off this.
Gersh?
Probably gonna just visit family.
Johnson? Panzer? Grocious?
I'm gonna be here and I'm gonna be mentally preparing myself for a month and a half of dancing before after.
Timmons?
No clue yet.
Goldstein? Edu?
I'll be here.
Mubinet?
I will be in Cuddle.
Spencer?
Going home and I'm going to be cuddling with my dog and picking up shift waitressing.
Going to Mexico.
Jonas?
I'm going to Florida for the first weekend, and then I'll be sitting around trying to grow my beard.
And with that, we have quorum. All right. The next item on our agenda is minutes from January 12th. Are there any amendments or issues with the minutes? Senator Rask.
Yeah, I guess I've never done anything with the minutes, so I don't know how to go about this. But looking at it, I saw that a speaker said, in Article 1, after I was talking on the minutes asking how a conversation went, it was said that in Article 1 of the Constitution it says senators will keep track of previous minutes. I guess I didn't have time to look at the sound, but the word minutes doesn't even appear in Article 1 of the Constitution, so I don't know how to go about changing that. Unless I'm looking at it wrong, missing something, go ahead.
My only concern is that from what I recall, those were the words said, and regardless of whether they're factual or not,
okay,
they were what was said. And so...
So
if it's in... I don't know if we can remove incorrect statements, but
sure.
if she dictated something that was...
Could you entertain a asterisk at the site of the issue of concern, and then at the... where the asterisk is, you could say what it was meant to mean instead of what it actually said.
I think that would be appropriate. What do you think, Administrator?
Yeah, I'd like to look at the sound and make sure that I recorded it right, but I think the asterisk makes sense. If so.
If we can figure out what was actually meant.
Yep.
Is that even possible? Really?
Like, do we know who said it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rash.
Who's not here? Oh, no, there you are. Do you know what you meant? Did you mean resolutions?
Can someone tell me what the wording is?
In the minutes?
It doesn't say anything in the Constitution about keeping track of previous minutes. Okay, what I meant was, I don't have the Constitution in front of me, but I'm fairly certain there is. Yeah.
Just
I will state for the record that I must have been mistaken when I said that. Admin director, you can put that as you like.
I would asterisk on last week's minutes.
On last week's, put something, whether it's in parentheses or an asterisk in the bottom, an explanation of the asterisk, but something that signifies the statement was not factually correct, but is correct as to what was said.
Okay, so there is something in there, and it when talking about the reprimand, where Senator Siada asked, does that mean cabinet members will be signing too? And it says that I said no, their roles are not delineated, but I believe that I had said that yes, everyone signs it, including cabinet members, and so I'm not sure if it was just like how it was said, but I thought that I had said that everyone signs it and everyone had signed it or is supposed to sign it, so.
Yeah, that was how I understood it too. So I'll look it.
Okay.
Do you know?
I do.
It's on.
I believe there was a question about committee members, if every member of committees will sign this.
Oh, I think it
was that where we started to get into student at
I
large?
Think that what might have been what it was, but it wasn't cabinet members, it was committee members.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, I remember that conversation. Do you know by any chance where it is?
It looks like the fifth page. I'm on the same document, so I could like click on it. Can you see the page that I just highlighted? No. I think it's on the fifth page, and it's Siada. The comment before it is Senator Siada saying, does that mean cabinet members will be signing this too? And I said, no, their roles are not delineated, but that should say committee members in the case of students at large.
Any further amendments? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of approving minutes as amended, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Abstentions?
Abstain.
So approved. Community comment. Are there any members of the community who wish to make a comment?
Hi, I'm Nate. I'm a member of the community with a comment. And my comment is, for those people who are off campus, their cards do not work to get into dorm buildings for any reason, and I would request that Senate maybe look into that, maybe investigate something and see if we can get that changed so all students have access to dorm buildings.
Is that it?
Yep. Also, Matt's a cool guy.
Any further comments from the community? Community comment. Seeing none. All right, then we are going to move into budgets. So, I believe our chairwoman is grabbing Women's Lacrosse. You have the budget, Nate, or whoever's in control. I don't understand your Wizard of Oz tree.
wonder how well the technology works in Nate here.
All right. Women in cross. Unless that's the entire budget, I don't remember.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Everyone.
Okay, so this is women's lacrosse. They're asking for a lacrosse stick. So like a gold stick. They don't currently have one. They've been lucky enough to have people in the past that have already had their own equipment. But this year they don't have anybody, so they're looking to get one that will stay with the team for further years. And they gave us estimates of lacrosse sticks ranging from just under $100 to just a little bit over, so we thought the requested $100 was fair because they didn't know based on the shipping costs that would happen afterwards. So we're figuring it's around $100 for them to get these this lacrosse stick for them to use in their games and tournaments.
Well, basically, we've kind of got, the team has gotten lucky in years past as far as having a goalie stick available. Generally, high school teams will provide a stick for the team, the goalie for the team, so it hasn't really been necessary for the girls to purchase their own. So they come here without one if they are goalies. Otherwise, sometimes we just have issues finding somebody to play goalie, so it's not fair to make them buy a stick.
We do have a girl that's willing to play as our goalie this year, but she is coming from the hockey team, so she was on the hockey team, and then she's studying abroad right now, and she'll be playing goalie position for our team in the spring, but she obviously doesn't have a lacrosse stick, so we're hoping that with the goalie stick, we would keep it would be like the designated team stick, and so in the future, it would be kind of like a good investment for our team to have this for future goalie players.
With that, I'll open up the floor for questions or discussion. Senator Siak.
I'd just like to point out they did have quotes, and obviously this is a necessity for their club to play. Yeah, we need to fund this, and we're not dictating which stick they buy. We're simply just giving them the allotted or requested money, so I feel comfortable supporting this.
Motion to allocate the full $100 to capital improvement.
So are you calling the question?
Yes, calling the question.
Second goes to Senator Karen. This is a vote on ending discussion and moving to the budget. All those in favor of ending discussion on the budget as a whole, say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. Abstentions? That vote is called. All right. We'll take a vote on the $100 to lacrosse for a new goalie stick. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Abstentions? So approved. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Point of information. Can I ask what contingency is at right now?
It is at $94,997.53.
Is that what's left to be allocated?
That was after I have rescinded the fall money that was not used.
Okay.
Tennis club, they're asking for new uniforms for when they go and play at the club section's tennis match. They are required to have uniforms with the Gustavus name on them. The uniforms will be staying with the club, and the design for the uniforms have already been approved by the athletic department for what's going to go on the shirts. So yeah, so we thought it was fair to allocate them or recommend them the whole 178-33 for the jerseys that they are looking to purchase.
All right, yeah, that covered on a whole bunch of it. Like she said, the uniforms have already been approved, just as Gustavus Club Tennis and has two rackets. We got a quote from, I believe it's a company in town, we used them last year, and it's 17 uniforms, and we just multiplied it by to get the uniforms here. As she said, they would stay here on campus. We'd make sure that the kids themselves wash them. I don't want to actually wash all their gross, dirty uniforms. And they'd stay here, and they're the dry fit kind that last year after year. So we would keep them. We have a locker that we're starting to have at Swanson Tennis Center, and they would stay there with the other equipment that we have for club, and they could last for years on end. So when these kids graduate, the small, medium, and large can fit for another kid who is a small, medium, and large. So yeah, I've got my treasurer and my vice president here. If you'd like to chime in on anything else you think that we need to mention, they're more than welcome to. And if you have any other questions, I would be happy to answer anything that you guys have for my mid-year request.
I'll open up the floor. Senator Rickland?
Question for the organization. Why are you guys looking to get more
uniforms? Well, we have doubled in size this year. Last year we had about 12 people on our team consistently. We are consistently having practices over 20 people with as many as 25. We have a very large freshman and sophomore growth on our team. In order to have uniforms for them, then we need to get some. Returning members who were here last year and have uniforms, we don't need to get new uniforms for them. They still have it. They still wear them all the time. All
right. Thank you.
I think you got to go.
I yield.
That's me. How many current uniforms do you have, and are they in the team's possession?
We have no uniforms currently in the team's possession. The players that have them last year purchased them on their own through this company. So the new people who are on the team then are the ones who do not have the uniforms.
Okay.
So the people who have purchased them already, obviously by themselves, that's theirs to keep. These uniforms that would be purchased would stay with club and would be able to be used for future club use, which would be great because that allows kids to join the club and maintain the fact that it's free for them and they can come and enjoy themselves if they may.
What? Any further questions? Discussion? 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 Seeing none, move to vote. All those in favor of approving the budget as recommended by the Finance Committee, say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. Abstentions? So approved. Thank you so much.
Right. May I ask a further question?
Sure.
I'm just wondering, may I them get in contact with the company and to purchase them? Am I free to use that button? All right. Thanks so much. Thank you so much for your time. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Fellowship for Christian Athletes. They are having a speaker that's coming in the spring here, March. And so we allocated them $1,500 for the quote of the speaker. They came in with a quote that was the $1,500, but the $500 that they have as travel cost is not a travel cost, it's just a deposit. Just to ensure that the speaker still comes here, so that's why it's we recommended zero for the travel costs and the $1,500 for the speaker. Otherwise, everything we saw was fair and just, and so we're recommending the $1,500 for the large speaker.
All right. Hi, my name is Kara. I am one of the leaders on FCA.
And the speaker we have coming in is, his name is Tom Coverley. He is an illusionist and magician, if you want to consider it that. So it's a 90-minute show. We have it planned for Friday, March 13th in Bjorling Hall. And so the first 60 minutes is the illusion aspect, so it's different tricks and engaging with the audience. And then the second half is more his testimony in relating, like, what you see as truth to what, how his faith has influenced what he does now. So it's similar to the maze that was here a couple of years ago. Heidi mentioned that. So
yeah, my sophomore year, so I don't know, I don't want to do the math for you guys. The maze came, and he did an awesome show that packed Alumni Hall, and people were really in support of it. And so this is really similar to that, and I think it'd be an awesome opportunity just to engage a lot of other people on campus, because I think illusionist, magician, whatever you want to call it, that can be really attractive to people. And yeah, it's an awesome opportunity that in the past the campus has supported.
All right, I'll open up the floor for discussion on the budget. Sergeant Workman.
Question for the ombudswoman. Is there a limit to how much an organization has that a good speaker in, or something like that?
I'm trying to think if this, this is not a ticketed event or any sort of.
Nope.
I think the only thing that would apply is that since funding for events over $1,000 must be approved 15 business days before it occurs, that the only thing that I'm seeing that applies to that, because they're a student org, and I'm not seeing. Yeah,
they,
I think they're completely within bylaws
right now. Just to be clear, the speaker's honorarium is $1,500, 500 of which has to be in advance. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was my only question. I yield.
Senator, you?
Just two things. I'm assuming the event is open to all students. I just want to confirm that. So would your organization be paying for the kind of publicity of the event, so posters and all that? Would you do any of that? Because my thing is, you know, if you're paying a lot for a speaker, I guess March 13 is far away, but, you know, some people forget, you know, so.
Yes. He is going to be sending us, like, templates for posters that we can then print, produce, and display around campus.
And I'm on leadership with one of the other Christian organizations, and we have all of us on board with helping with advertising and helping promote it. So it won't just be FCA working with advertising or anything like that. But FCA wanted to make sure that they got him here, and so that's why they're asking.
Senator Peterson.
I just think it sounds like a really cool event, because I know the first years get the hypnotist, but it's just for them, and this year it kind of fell through. So I think that'll be cool, and even if people aren't faith-based, he has that part at the end, so you still can enjoy the show for everyone. So I think it sounds awesome, and we should give him full support.
Any further discussion? Discussion department. I just want to ask, just to clarify, because the word honorarium was used, it's a speaker's fee. We're paying the speaker, correct, and not donating to a charity. Any further discussion? 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 Seeing none? All those in favor of approving the budget as recommended by the Finance Committee, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Abstentions? So approved.
Thank you for your time.
Student Senate Leaders Forever.
St. Thomas.
Likes.
Likes.
Flamingo.
There we go.
All right. Madam Chairman.
All right.
What does STL? STL stands for Students Today Leaders Forever.
Okay. That's what it stands for. I knew part of it, just not all of it. All right. So they have a convention up north.
later this month. And it's for a Pay It Forward campaign that which is a trip that they're going on later this year. But these costs are just for a convention to, like, prepare them for this long trip that they're going to take by cars in the spring. So this is just to, like, get them prepared and know how to deal with different situations and whatnot. So we're supporting them for the travel costs that they have requested, because it's going to be a 384 miles just to get up north. And then it's a $10 registration fee to get into this conference sort of thing. And there's going to be 5 of them going up. So we thought everything was reasonable that they were asking for. So we recommended their budget in full.
Today?
You know, we did go to a fall conference, and we are fundraising all of the money to pay that off through banquet shifts, but just our manpower in general, our core is pretty small, so we just really have not been able to fundraise to pay for this conference. And I just want to add that this conference is, like, mandatory, so our spring break trip over spring break won't happen if we don't go, because it is necessary training on, like, finances, logistics, and other just, like, facilitation things with the trip. Yeah.
All right. I'll open the floor for discussion.
I was on the speaker's list. I don't need to stand. I'm going to be abstaining from voting for this because I have a conflict of interest. I'm the secretary for this organization. But this actually is essential. I'm going to be going on this travel trip. It'd be really awesome if you guys could approve this, because it's essential to our core. We can't be an organization or follow through with our needs without actually participating in this.
I'm
Can you explain a little bit more about what your organization is and what this big trip that you guys are going on, and what this is, just so to give a better idea of what we are funding?
Okay, so the Pay It Forward Tour specifically is kind of our kickoff event on campus. It's an event that occurs across college campuses nationwide. So it's kind of the signature of STLF. It's a multi-city service and leadership trip. So we stop in a new city each day, do volunteer work, as well as doing workshops with our students specifically about leadership, personal convictions. The list goes on and on. But this retreat is for Students Today Leaders Forever. So it's not just for the trip. It's kind of to get a better idea of what Students Today Leaders Forever is as a nationwide org, but also what your chapter is going to look like what kind of events you're going to put on, etc. The organization itself seeks to energize student leaders, and their vision is to seek energizing servant leaders through these three core values, and it's service, relationships in your community, and action. So that's kind of our motto on campus. That's it.
Thank you. I yield the floor.
Chairman Jensen.
Just to clarify that, I'm not sure how far north it is, but that's for round trip travel, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 384 miles? Okay.
Right.
Has your organization received funding or allocation for this year from Student Senate?
No.
This is your first?
Right. We were approved last spring after the yearly budget process went through. So
you're approved as an organization?
Yeah. We were approved as an organization last spring, and we were kind of in the beginning planning details, so this is kind of the first expenditure that we've incurred.
Any further discussion? Discussion. Seeing none, move to a vote. All those in favor of approving the budget as recommended by the Finance Committee, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Abstentions?
Abstain.
So approved. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I hate to bring it up again, but just thinking about it, I still feel what happened last week was wrong. I don't know. Personally, it bothers me. I felt like I was kind of forced to sign something without totally understanding it. And upon looking at our Constitution and bylaws, I feel what was done was, according to the Constitution and bylaws, done incorrectly. Like I mentioned before, when I asked the last week why the reprimand was happening, it was because Article 1 of the Constitution said that senators are meant to look back at the minutes. I found nowhere in the Constitution or bylaws where that was stated. In fact, it's not in the word minutes don't appear in the first article of the Constitution definitions. Purpose and responsibilities of Student Senate. I couldn't find anything dealing with that under there. Moving to the bylaws, I looked at everybody's personal duties. Senators, that is Hall representatives and class representatives, have absolutely nothing to do with that. In fact, I'm kind of surprised by how little our duties even say on there. The only people who I could find that had anything to do with that was the co-presidents, and I might have missed one or two, but the co-presidents, the administrative director, the tech chair, the parliamentarian, the ombuds person, and the controller are all supposed to, quote, actively monitor the conduct of the Senate and report any possible infractions of duty concerning this Constitution or its bylaws to the ombuds person. So, that's literally all I could find, even close to looking back at the minutes. I guess there was one thing, I forget where it was, but at the beginning of the year, I believe it's on the co-president's duties to, or maybe it's full Senate, to have the beginning of the year
retreat,
and you're supposed to look at or talk about past Senates, what they've done. And the fact that that meeting is off the record, we don't have any record of it, and our ombuds person, the head of our ethics committee, wasn't even at that meeting. I don't see how that could come into play. I guess moving towards actual reprimand. Give me a minute, stick with me here. A formal reprimand is, here's what it says in the Constitution. Formal reprimand by the ombuds person is signed by a disciplined member and acknowledged by the Senate body. So I guess maybe if we have the reprimand here, we could read what we actually signed, but I feel that people who signed it were not and should not have been disciplined members in this case. I don't really know what acknowledged by the Senate body is, if it's just hey, we heard.
On the minutes.
Okay. Could you, have the
reprimand? I, as far as the whole, what every hall, that looking over past minutes and stuff, is supposed to be delineated in the Constitution, I personally could have sworn that I had read that, and maybe that's just part of me. That might be completely on me, but I swore that I had read it somewhere that we are supposed to, as a job of senators and a job for our constituents, right? Not as a senator, since I'm not one. But so the
correct me if I'm mistaken, Bobby, were you just asking for the wording of what was
signed? Are you looking for the wording of this?
Yeah.
Okay, so this formal reprimand, or this is a formal written reprimand for your failure to perform your functions of your position appropriately. As a Senate body, your job includes reviewing previous minutes and decisions to ensure the previous decisions be upheld. On December 1st, 2014, Senate heard and voted on a resolution for a budget of the student organization known as Building Bridges. A previous Senate body gave this resolution a timeline that placed this discussion in spring semester of 2015. As a body, Senate failed to honor the timeline agreed upon 3 years prior.
In the future, ethics reminds Senate that their job includes reviewing Senate minutes and decisions. Please remember the requirements of your position and perform your job to the best of your abilities.
Okay. Yep. So with that, I guess, again, I disagree with why we were forced to sign that. Personally, I guess duress would be the right word. I kind of felt obligated to sign it in fear that there'd be further action taken upon myself and other senators by the Ethics Committee. As stated by Jonas, I mean, just kind of offhand, that, well, if you don't sign it, then I guess you're going to, Ethics Committee will decide what to do with you. I don't know exact report on that, so.
Something like that.
But, yeah. So
I mean, there's no other, the only recourse or discipline of this body is your Ethics Committee. So
right.
if somebody refused to sign a formal reprimand, there'd be no other redress but the Ethics Committee. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't mean that in a threatening
right.
way.
I just think that's the only thing that y'all
can do to each other, with each other, for each other, about each other.
Right. And again, just kind of personally, I feel that should not have been signed by many people it was signed by, and I don't know, I guess, how to go about that. If it means bringing Ethics Committee to a discussion about formally reprimanding themselves, or if we can, I mean, I looked throughout the entire Constitution bylaws and couldn't find anything about challenging reprimands, but, and I mean, again, it's not a huge deal, but personally, I find a problem, or kind of find it, I don't know what the right word is, but to have to sign that and have it go and permanent record, it just seems wrong to me. I guess I'll just leave it up for sure.
I think your only choice in the matter would be for you to form a committee to write into your bylaws and constitution an appeal process to your Ethics Committee, because you currently don't have such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that your solution may be forward-facing. I don't know that you have a solution that's backward-facing because of the constraints of your operating documents.
Okay. Yeah. With that, I guess I would...
Got it.
Sure.
Tight. So I have a... Sorry, I was texting. I was actually looking up the Constitution. So here in Article 5, meetings, the Senate must hold a retreat prior to the first full Senate meeting of the academic year, blah, blah, blah. After retreat, they must review previous works of the Senate, but I'm not sure if that basically holds over to specifics or to all works of the Senate that couldn't have been possible at the retreat. That's really all I've found so far. So,
and that's
yeah.
what I was talking about,
yeah.
that I can remember the wording of it. Yeah, review the previous work of the Senate. Yeah, well, I guess... Even if nothing comes of this, I think we should have something in the Constitution or bylaws that gives us the ability to overrule Ethics Committee, because I find that is kind of weird to think about, that Ethics Committee can just kind of do stuff and there's no way to overpower that ultimate power. So I move to create a committee chaired by myself to look into making a constitution or bylaw change that creates such a group.
I'm so sorry. Would you repeat yourself?
Before I repeat myself, I guess I forgot to say this. I would recommend that anybody who hasn't signed that document do not sign it, because I feel it should be thought about a little bit more before that happens. I already signed it, so I can't really do that. But with that, I move to create a committee chaired by myself to look into making a new article in the Constitution or bylaws that creates such a group that, or rule where, or situation where a group of senators by vote can overrule Ethics Committee.
Second goes to Karen. Discussion on the formulation of a committee.
I guess I just with that, I the naming of the article or constitution or bylaw article, whatever, isn't, obviously wouldn't be exactly what I just said, because to say, like, give senators power to overrule ethics committee in itself kind of just sounds maybe not the best, but would like to look into that possibility. A system to challenge ethics committee.
Okay.
I yield.
Senator Crash.
I thank the previous speaker for clarifying that, because I agree that being able to vote your way out of an ethics situation completely negates the ethics committee's existence.
Mm-hmm.
As I said before, I spent some time researching previous senates and what they've done. And in a previous situation like this, which was 2008, a long time ago, what happened was it went to J Board, actually. And the J Board basically became an arbiter between what would have been ethics and the Senate body. And so I think something I would encourage this committee to look along those lines to an outside group that could look into Senate ethics, maybe the Dean of Students Office, maybe J Board, maybe, I don't know. Not the Dean of Students Office, okay. Let's look into an outside group doing this rather than something from within Senate, because otherwise you're going to have senators getting out of pretty much anything having to do with ethics. I yield.
Senator Wickman.
I don't feel confident actually making the motion I'm about to amendment I'm about to suggest, but maybe discuss or consider making an amendment to this to not allow ethics committee members during this ad hoc committee.
Senator Skiba.
Right, so I'd just like to point out that we have a financial, committee, and on that committee, like, the finance team is able to take in the information and then bring forward what they recommend, and then senators vote on that. I feel like the ethics committee, should work in the same way. It's a committee that we elect a certain group of senators to, look over information and then come back to us with information. So that's just my feel. I support Bobby's thoughts on that as well, or the previous senator's thoughts.
By are we discussing what the motion is? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Did you yield the floor or yield to?
Yeah, I will yield to whoever wants the floor.
Well, I mean, then I looked up and realized I was next on the speaker list anyway, so it wasn't matter. But if ethics was to operate in the same way that a finance committee does, it comes back to that idea of saying, like, well, you did something wrong, and someone could easily think, like, no, I didn't, because let's be honest, like, no one likes getting told that they did something wrong. And so that's kind of the point of ethics, is that we're supposed to monitor what happens, and we're supposed to be an unbiased party that is in charge of reprimands. And so if we were to, like, say, bring something forward and say, I think this should happen, or I think Senate went wrong here, speaking as we would have Senate voting on punishing Senate for something, it would be a conflict of interest in that, and that's the case of the bias that we're looking into. As far as Bobby Rasmussen, you were referring, the one that we were looking at when we did make this decision is the fact that Article 5 states that you are to review the previous work of Senate. And so I was under the assumption that that referred to everyone is supposed to look back on previous works as a senator,
sure,
and that's in their job.
We're discussing the previous senator's motion, not the not the recommend itself.
I agree.
Okay. In that case, I would just like to say that I think that you're making a very good point, and I encourage you to look into this. And I yield my time.
Senator Rasmussen.
I just want to clarify again, like, I'm not looking to create something where senators can overpower ethics ruling, but I just feel like there should be, it's like you can challenge the chair on a decision, something kind of like that. And again, there's other avenues or routes that people want to take to it, then cool, let's talk about it in the committee, hopefully. But yeah, that's all I'd say.
Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of formulating a committee to look at an ethics appellate process with Bob Rasmussen as chair.
Is it majority? I've never created a...
Simple majority. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Abstentions?
Abstain.
So approved. All right. Any further old business? Old business. Senator Gustafson.
This might have been better as a point of information. But anyway, so last week we discussed the survey email. And 2 weeks prior, we thought it would be best, at least I was under the impression we thought it was best for the dorm representative's email. And then I got the feeling that everybody was supposed to email last week, so I was just wondering where we stood on that, if anybody's actually emailed anyone yet.
My understanding was, yes, we agreed, dorm representatives, I emailed senators because I thought it was a waste of time to go through the alias and pick out which ones were dorm representatives. So I apologize if my email had seemed confusing. Old business. Seeing none, we'll move on to graduation cords and other items. Maybe? Yes? No? I'll just hand it off to our Assistant Dean of Students, Megan Rubel.
Adornments. Thanks, Matt. So my name is Megan Rubel. I'm the Assistant Dean of Students. One of the many capacities that I serve the college in is sitting on the Academic Operations Committee. You all have two students appointed to that committee as well, but they're not here tonight. So actually one of the items that the AOC has been talking about that I offered to bring back to a student group to kind of weigh in on a little bit is the, it's called maybe the adornment, commencement attire policy. So it has to do with cords or other adornments that graduates might wear in addition to their cap and gown during graduation commencement ceremonies. I think that the original intent idea, it's been around a long time, was that those would be academic honors that would be worn. But of course, what's happened is that's grown a little bit. And so now there's a whole lot of different things that are represented in different adornment ways at commencement. That can be pins, that can be sashes, that can be stoles, it can be cords, whatever it might be. And the scope of why students are wearing those has also grown from just academic honors to other sorts of honors or service or leadership. Or now membership in certain organizations has cords as well to it. So the AOC is looking at and wanting to, I'll be really frank, wanting to kind of put some more boundaries around that right now. But they're even struggling at where to draw the line and what kind of decisions would be made. So I said that I would be happy to get some student perspective on that because I think you guys can look at kind of the big picture. You can understand why. There might be a goal or a hope to kind of put some limits around that and make it be the honor that it is supposed to be, kind of. But how do we also be inclusive at the same time? And where is that line drawn, you know? So would it be helpful if I read off, like, some groups of people that have adornments so you'd have a sense or an idea of, okay. So there's tons of honor societies around here, as you know, right? Like, all these Greek honor society in sociology, biology, geography, classics, religion, athletic training, education. So many of those kinds of things, right? You know, almost every major has some sort of honor society that goes with it, and some of those do cords and some of them don't. But others, which are maybe a little bit beyond kind of that traditional academic honors scope, would be some social fraternities and sororities, student senate, Gustavus Women in Leadership, Latin American, Latino, and Caribbean Studies minors have them currently and wear them, veterans, international graduates, Order of Omega, which is a Greek honor society, social Greek honor society, collegiate fellows, peer assistants, Diversity students who are honored by the Diversity Center or multicultural programs. Did I hit most of them? Yep, so those are some examples of kind of how it's grown in scope. And so I don't know, just open discussion with a speakers list or what, but I'm here to take notes and just get ideas to bring back to the, to this group of people.
I like the, I guess, traditional sense where this came from, being that I like the academic portion of it, signifying your excellence in academia here at the school. Although I do also like some of the other organizations, not referring to Senate particularly, but like the Latin American Caribbean Miners Society or Miner, I guess, recognition, as well as some of the diversity ones. I just, at a certain point, I almost feel like if there's so many recognitions, then they're almost like devalued in a sense. I know that they're going to be different colored or have different semblums or emblems. I just think that if at this point it almost seems like the spectrum is so wide that the recognition isn't really doing its main job. And I wouldn't be opposed to, I guess, curtailing some of the recognition for graduation in the terms of maybe just bring it back to academics and then like social diversity types of recognitions. But strictly like academic, I think, should be the main focus of it. I got you.
Senator McClendon.
I would agree with what the previous speaker said, that having all these cords can really devalue it. I don't personally think the point of wearing the cords is to display your resume. It's just kind of to show your academic success throughout school. So I think definitely the academic ones are important, and I think diversity ones are also important because from an equity aspect and stuff, thinking about how different people face different situations and representation of certain groups receiving academic honors, that it's important to also include the diversity stuff. And I think this is obviously a very tricky situation that will take quite a lot of thought. So, with that, you'll be able
to hear. Tyler Granger. So I have two main things. First one, I guess to a certain extent, I think with a school like Gustavus, when we focus on the liberal arts perspective and valuing all parts of one's education, to restrict certain things as honors could seriously devalue the things that we do. And I think that's something the admissions office used, something that we hold dear to us as Gustavus students, is that we are one of the most involved student bodies in the state. And I love that about Gustavus. That's why I came to Gustavus. And I think taking away recognition for that for students could be detrimental. And additionally, just with kind of the whole pushing towards individuality and all that on campus, taking away that, restricting that to this is the way you dress, I think is kind of a, while I understand it and I agree that academic honors are important, I think that it could definitely be taken the wrong way and could result in a lot of people being very upset with their individuality being repressed. I would be very surprised if people were not upset greatly by this. Then going forward from there, so I personally am not in support of it, but I am not, I could be swayed potentially, I'm open-minded. If we do decide to restrict things, I think should be on the grounds that they are for academic purposes only, and as much as I love the beautiful different things we recognize for diversity, I think making exceptions to the policy of like this is an academic honor thing could get difficult as well. As much as I love and respect diversity after my experiences here at Gustavus, I think that's making an exception to the idea that we are trying to put in place. So if we do something, I think it should be maybe restricted to just academic honors and GPA honors to keep it purely academic. And then if we do decide to do something,
I believe it should potentially have a suspended release, and of course, that sounds self-serving, as I am a college senior, but simply on the grounds that I think that having a lot of these groups already be under the impression that they will be receiving these cords, taking them away suddenly for things that people have understood that they are working towards could be deemed unfair as well. So having like a, while I think maybe 3 years would be the best, that might be unreasonable as well, but that would give students time when they're joining the organizations, they would not be under the impression that they are getting those cords anymore as well. I just think that's a good way to keep everyone relatively calm about the change as well, so that no one who is feels like they have been already awarded their cords are having them taken away. With that, I yield.
Point of information, when an organization wants to get an endowment, do they have to, like, apply for it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there is a policy that exists right now, just to be clear, and there are limits on what you can wear at, you know, you can't decorate your hat, you have to wear, like, there's different things, you know, that's expected and laid out there. And there's a policy that's not that old that is sort of meant to get at this, but leaves a lot of room open for interpretation. And so right now what happens is you go see the Dean of Students Office, and the Dean of Students Office, who likes to be really inclusive and loves students to death, doesn't want to say no because, well, you know, and
because
so
if these organizations have been doing it forever, then these organizations should be allowed to do it as well.
Right. Exactly. And so the thought was, if it is the, you know, faculty AOC intent that this be a tighter policy, then they need to write it as a tighter policy, because when they leave the interpretation open for the dean's office, then it's probably not going to be a very tight policy. So that's why they're working on what wording makes sense and trying to really make some really clear distinctions and calls. So that's what happens right now. Or somebody sends them to the dean's office. I don't even know how that really came out to be, but...
Yeah, and then I took it upon myself to encourage them not to all use the same colors. So I implemented the big different colors policy.
All right, Senator Thrash.
What is your current definition of veteran?
I don't know.
Okay. I would.
Veterans and military service.
I would recommend that you be very, very careful. You as a committee be very, very careful of who you do and do not define as a veteran, because there are organizations, there are people out there who get very, if you're not a part of the military community, you don't see it a lot, but people get very touchy about who is and who is not a veteran. And so I would be careful with that, especially in relation to ROTC cadets.
Yeah.
I, for instance, am an ROTC cadet, but I don't consider myself a veteran. I don't know any veterans who would consider me a veteran,
mm-hmm.
but other cadets would, and that could be a real issue. I would also encourage... something, I don't want to use the word arbitrary, but something that is either, something that's either fish or fowl. So this has, you know, organizations that have a GPA requirement versus those that don't, organizations that are sponsored by an academic department versus those that are not. Something that you can clearly look at an organization or a group and say yes or no based on that group's constitution, so that you remove the human element, because I think anytime a person, any person, even if it's Jonas, is having to say, you know, yes, you, no, not you, you're going to have people getting offended, you're going to have feelings getting hurt, and you're going to have a huge debacle. I would also suggest that you make it clear whether or not ROTC cadets are allowed to graduate in uniform, because...
Yeah, they're not right now. That's
okay,
because
that's...
That they're not.
I remember a long time ago, chain emails going back and forth about whether that was going to happen or not, and I remember thinking that I hope this was resolved before I had to graduate.
Yeah, that was the issue 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. With Mario and those people.
Yeah.
Senator Edu.
So I have a couple of things I wanted to say. First, I wanted to ask a question. Was there an initially set purpose for having graduation cords? So, like, for example, graduation cords would be for academic honors. Was there an initially set purpose for the cords for the first time they were used?
Right. I don't have any history on that. I only go back about 3 years when they kind of revised it a little bit.
I think back in 88 there were just academic honor societies that were core or groups that were courts, and I think that somewhere in the mid 90s the D Center started handing out their stoles, and then I think a whole bunch of others jumped in after that.
Okay.
And I don't know how long international students have been wearing their ribbons or cords or whatever, because the international students wear something associated.
Sashes.
Yeah. I don't know when that started.
Okay. I just wanted to add to that. So some things I think are important. One, what do other schools do with their graduation cords and honors? I know Gustavus is a different school,
mm-hmm.
but you know, as much as Gustavus is a different school, you can't be too far off what other schools do. As with honors, do other schools use honors strictly for academic purposes or other things? That's one thing to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing to consider is consistency. So if I graduated from Gustavus 40 years ago, for example, and the honors were just for academics, and I go for Gustavus graduation for, say, in 2013, and I see so many new things, and I'm confused, and I'm like, when I graduated, I only remember the course were for students who graduated so GPA and all that, you know. You don't want things to change as much, and some things can really change. That's what I believe. And another thing, curtailing, okay, so, for example, if you set this boundary and you say you're going to not take this organization, whatever. Does that mean some honors that are already recognized will be taken off, or you just curtail what is to people who are going to apply in the future? I don't know if it's
right.
Yeah, I think the intent would be it would affect some groups that
some groups.
Currently use and have the adornments.
Okay, and just to finish off, this is personally wrote to me. I mean, I think an honor, I checked up synonyms for honor, and one thing that came up was distinction. You know, distinct is not with the crowd, you know. And I just think, you know, the more you hand out all these honors, I noticed this last year during the graduation, but I'm new to the culture here, so I didn't comment on it or anything. I believe in keeping it, you know, I won't say it's small group, but just let's remember it's a distinction. So I don't think any organization or anyone should just, you know, work. Even me as an international, it's good. I mean, I know all that, but if you take off the international court, I won't be offended,
mm-hmm.
because I'm still eligible for the GPA. Everyone is still eligible for the GPA honor. There's equality with that. And I yield.
Senator Singh.
So I have a couple of questions. How did we think about addressing this problem? Like, where did it come up with from? Like, where did we at graduation last year, and just looking around and seeing that everyone had a bunch of adornments, or like, how did
mm-hmm.
it come about to discuss?
I think it's been growing in the past years as the numbers of groups have been growing, and it seems to have maybe picked up pace. You know, just as a really simple example, once, say, you know, one social fraternity says, "Hey, we think it'd be a great idea," and the dean's office says, "Yeah." Then of course you've got 12, and there aren't 12 that do it right now. But it's been picking up steam pretty quickly, you know, with more groups doing it and things like that. So I do think it's been people that have seen it at graduation and expressed some.
I also think it came to a head last spring when they were working on the graduation booklet, and I gave them the list of all of the orgs that do cords and that I was aware of, and all that were planning on it, and the group that does the booklet said, "Wow, this is way too many. We don't have enough room for all of this." And I said, "Well, this is how many there are." So I think that also kind of then pushed some conversations that eventually ended up at AOC, who are the people who have responsibility for the policy.
Okay. So I agree this is kind of a sticky situation, because Previous center mentioned this, where if you take it away now, people are going to be really upset. But we also don't want it to be so affluent that it doesn't mean anything anymore. I guess what I'm seeing with these honors is that they need to be earned. So you mentioned that some organizations just being a member
right.
earns you a cord or an adornment.
I think with the academics, it's easy to scale because we have our Brooklyn GPA scale, and if we fall somewhere on the higher end, then that's like where it comes from. So finding a way to scale the honors, I think, is how we should go about this, because I think they need to be deserved. So I don't believe that a lot of the organizations are just handing them out. There are some that have just the memberships, but the one that comes to mind is the Diversity Center or the Student Senate. Like, you have to be a member of Student Senate. So is there not a,
you just have to be a senior who was graduating
okay.
and spent on Senate.
That's what we said last year.
And last year was the first time Senate ever did it.
Okay. Well, keeping the Senate example, the Diversity Center example, you have to have like done something significant towards diversity, equity, list, or within the community to earn that. So like anybody that hangs out in the D Center doesn't just get that honor. There are a lot of honor societies that I think if you're a senior and you participate in that society, I think the Chi Beta, like the Biology Honor Society, I think if you're a senior, you get a course, you pay certain like membership fee or something like that. I guess my main point would be that you need to earn it somehow, and like they're in the application process, maybe if they have a way of showing that these students are doing something above and beyond the other people in that organization to earn this, then they can have it. So that would cut down the number of people that are wearing the different cords. I don't know if you're trying to cut down the number or like the number of cords or adornments, because that's another thing. Because you could limit the number of people that are earning those things, which would still create, like, not create, but have the individuality that people are looking for on campus, I guess, without getting rid of them all.
What is the concern of having students wearing adornments?
I think it depends on who you talk to,
yeah.
Right? I think, and so I am trying to speak for other people that I shouldn't be speaking for, right? But I think for faculty, there is a sort of, we are an academic institution. Commencement is recognizing an academic completion of things. We really, some of the things you've expressed, you know, as it kind of goes like this, it waters down and potentially devalues those really specific things. So I think that's where it's coming from in the faculty piece. But again, I'm not that. I think there is, okay, so I'll put my campus activities hat on, right? So I worked in campus activities for 13 years before I moved into the dean's office. And I think there is also a question between membership versus honor, right? And if it starts going down to because you joined this organization and you were a member of this organization, then this organization is going to get cords for all their seniors, and so you're going to wear a cord. And is that, then are they honor cords? But I don't know, do we care? We probably shouldn't call them honor cords if they, you know, are for non-honor things. But I don't know. Jonas and I have talked about differing opinions about it, you know?
Yeah. I guess my thought is that I think we, so as an institution, ardently believe that the education occurs everywhere at Gustavus, mm-hmm. that we believe it occurs outside of the classroom, if we believe it's a part of our organizations, it's part of our mission elsewhere, like in Dine Services talks about it all the time, that they try to bring education into the marketplace. I see both sides, mm-hmm. And I see that if restrictions need to be made, then I think that it needs to be like everything. It needs to be large. It can't be like piece picking apart which ones yes, no. It needs to be large scale restrictions, because I think if you say only these ones can, then I think that creates a very tense and even more hostile kind of environment with this. I can see where we want to elevate certain honors and whatnot, or want to make sure that there is weight and importance behind those adornments, but then I also think that gets into a really uncomfortable situation of somebody else deciding what is valuable and what experience and what work and what time spent and what all that means. And so I think if restrictions do need to be made, then I say large scale, and I would say that if you're looking for input, I think students would be upset. I think that it would be hard to get a student perspective or like come to a student consensus on what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there would be some frustration with restrictions, but that also would change in a generation of students.
Okay, so my first issue is who pays for these things, because how I understand it is the group itself pays for the adornments, and that being the case, I think if you want to pay for something, go right ahead and pay for it, and you can't, like, I don't feel like the dean of students or whoever should be able to control that. Oh, well, you want to pay for it? Too bad, I'm not gonna let you. I think that that's kind of silly. Second, graduation is a celebration, right? Like the whole event is just so out of the ordinary. You wear different clothes, you're there with your whole family, and you're celebrating graduating from a four-year institution. And I think that is amazing, and so many people throughout the world don't have that opportunity. So I think that we shouldn't restrict it at all. This is your moment to celebrate. Also with that, I think membership, just in general, is also an honor. Like, if you take a, you know, social Greek organization, for example, hey, you got along with, like, 100 other people. I think that that's quite an honor. Like, that's an accomplishment in my mind. That was just being kind of silly. Yeah, but I think that even if you look at it differently, like, a membership in Student Senate, like, you committed to a year or however long of serving as a senator. That means that, like, you had the time in your schedule to be able to represent your constituents and your peers and be able to belong to this body. And I think that that membership is an honor. My last point or last question is, do you have any idea how you would go about enforcing this? Like, say someone has a decorated cap, it's like, oh, not gonna let you walk across the stage. Do you have any idea how that would even happen?
Maybe the faculty marshals have that kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I think faculty marshals would be the ones who would ultimately make a decision. I don't know that. I mean, like, certainly there's a lot of caps that I watch walk past me as I'm reading names that nobody worries about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think anybody's out there to really like get too crazy about it to date.
So I almost feel like, personally, enforcement is unnecessary, and like, that's just me, Gia Gustafson. So
just so you know, Megan, I think we'll treat you like a student organization. So, however you want the floor,
okay,
as we're moving between speakers, and you want to throw 2 cents or respond to something that was just said, just stop me as I go to say it first. The same.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay, well, I just think this is great. This is the kind of stuff the committee's talking about. It's seeing all these things and seeing the complexity of the issue, you know, like some of you have said, too. So, and I'm not a voting member, so that's great. I'm just an ad hoc rep on the committee who promised to get some student feedback. So I'm happy to keep taking it. That's great.
Senator Ross.
Okay, several of my points have already been touched on, but I kind of want to just add a different spin to it, and I don't want to waste any time. But first, I guess I find it ironic. This isn't totally related. That so you can't decorate the top of your hat.
You're not supposed to, according to the commencement attire policy.
I could have sworn on a college website that.
Yeah.
Every year.
Okay. Anyway, down to business. The whole first, just touch on previous speaker. The whole, like, if you buy it, you can wear it. Personally, I don't think that should be. Something like if I bought a like big foam hand that had like, a middle finger on it or something. Obviously, I mean, that's a little extreme, but just another spin on that, I guess. That I don't know if that should necessarily be the ruling on it. Personally, I don't think you can draw the line again, something that's already been touched on between what's important and what's not. You're just gonna run into problems, it's gonna make people angry. Like if I created the Tic Tac Toe Club and was a champion of it and I got cords for that. Like, me personally, I might think it's a huge honor, but I would be willing to bet that 99 out of 100 people would think that's the dumbest thing they've ever heard. So it's just, I mean, it's a great line that, when you talk to start the whole conversation, you agreed that, or said that there's gray areas, and I think that's a huge issues, a lot of issues that would create. Again, something that's been touched on, graduation is a celebration. I was going to bring this up, that people are going to feel like they should be able to celebrate anything, and maybe that's how it should be, but again, it's, I mean, when it gets down to it, it's a celebration of an academic accomplishment, I'm sorry. But again, like President Timmons stated, that our school values more than just reading out of a book. It's life values that are learned here, not just academia. But with that, I guess, and all the ideas that have been thrown around, I think when it comes down to when you make a decision, if it does get limited, I would just caution, be extremely careful on how it's done, because I guarantee at some level there will be pushback by students, whether it's riots through campus, I don't think, but there will, I mean, there's going to be some strong voices opposing it because people feel like they should be able to celebrate that. I guess just to spitball my idea out there, we want something, or it sounds like we're looking to make academics was like the traditional reason for these cords or different decorations, but there was never the strict rule put in place where that's the only reason. If there's anything we can come up with new, like wearing you get a golden cap or something instead of cords, and then creating something new along those lines, and then right away when you create that new rule or new thing, create a rule right away with that one saying, if you have high academics, you're going to get a golden cap, and that is the only way you can have a non-black hat. I think it's black hat, right? And that might, again, everybody else in this room might think that sounds really dumb, but it's just another idea to bring forward, and maybe that's something that they could roll with, and maybe they have something better than a golden cap. That's my two cents. I yield.
Karen.
So I'm in agreement with a lot of previous speakers, but I feel like what I'm trying to say here maybe ties all that up. Yes, this is primarily an academic institution. That's what we're here to do, get that GPA so that we can move on with our lives. But according to the five pillars that we have right out there, and according to everything else Gustavus tries to speak about, you know, being a Lutheran-affiliated college, personally I'm not Lutheran, we're trying to mold people here for moving on in life and being successful citizens. And I feel like CORDS or whatever represents maybe not as adequately as it could, but what you became at college or what you were involved in, how you were trying to shape yourself as a student. That's why I think so many organizations are trying to get those CORDS. I think it's completely acceptable to do so. And although, you know, people say, well, we want to be individuals, but we only want to be individuals when it comes to grades, I'm not sure if that's quite fair. And I think that we're all individuals. This is going to be really cliche. We're all individuals within a community. And to show that individuality, if that's color of CORDS or if that's something else that we allocate to, I guess, our gowns, it makes sense. And I think that the CORDS as they are fine. Even if we have to put 37 pages inside of the little things that we get at graduation. Mm-hmm. It's still acceptable to me because it shows that we are individuals who are molded differently within a community. I yield.
Senator Peterson.
I guess I have two things. One of them is, don't we have like an involvement dinner celebration thing at the end of the year where
the
students...
The Night of Distinction.
The Night of Distinction. So that's something that also celebrates people who are very active and distinct. But another happy medium, kind of what a previous center was saying, would be we keep the cords for academic, but to me it kind of reminded me in high school we had letter pins, so maybe you could do pins for like the different, a different organization, a pin for diversity, like, and then they could wear those if they wanted to, and then the cords would be very distinct for those of honors, because that's a traditional thing of honors that you see in high school, graduate school, everything. So that's an idea in order to try and compromise, because I get what you're saying. If you buy it, or you want to allocate that money, you should be able to. So that's an idea. That's all. I yield.
Branch.
Okay, so I don't know what I would do if I were in your situation, deciding whether to make them just academic or keep with making them for individual people. I think that's a difficult decision that you guys are going to have to come to. I warn you about making it for this year and imposing that on seniors that were told in the fall that they were going to be awarded this cord if they did these requirements, because most of those organizations, from my understanding, have requirements that you have to do that to receive the cord. So I feel that it's not fair to do that to the seniors. Coming as a junior, I mean, I won't like it, but I can understand it because it's the next year. Also, with the organizations you named off, a lot of them affiliate with the five cores of Gustavus, and I think that's important because that's something that Gustavus has come to represent, and that's what we want to encourage people, all five of those, to practice in their life and their lifestyle. And I realize that graduation is about your academic achievements and all of that, but I think it's important just to also consider our core values that we hold as individuals and as a community, as Gustavus.
Wickland.
Hi. I have a few points I want to touch on, and I kind of want to go off what a previous senator said about sort of making different distinctions or like a happy medium between what everyone gets. And I just think that, say, getting a 4.0 GPA as compared to a previous senator's example of Tic Tac Toe Club, I think it's probably harder to get a GPA than, say, being Tic Tac Toe Club. So there, like, it'd be nice to have some objective way of saying what's harder to obtain, and then maybe do the pins for things that represent more individual or individuality, and then cords for distinction, or do some sort of different endowments to represent different levels of that. And then also for the streamlining, personally, if I were a sophomore and I heard about this, I would be at least unsettled about it. I'm a first year. I wouldn't have a problem if there was some restriction imposed. I know we have two other first years in the room, I think, too, right now. So if you guys have any feelings on that, I can hear for you. Okay. So, like, personally, as a first year, I wouldn't be upset if my graduation, if we knew about the restrictions by next year, if by my graduation we didn't have it. So, yeah, with that, I yield my time.
You, Roland Herringer. I just had a vision of the movie Footloose in my head for a moment as the last speaker, so I just, just in the sense of restricting, I think, just this kind of very almost frivolous sense of students displaying their accomplishments in a time of celebration, and taking that away because we think graduation is too colorful, maybe from like a viewer's perspective, I think it's just, the more I think of it, the more silly almost it feels. So I think if we do want to restrict it, it should be very wide-ranging. Let's make this about one thing. Find some very clear-cut guidelines. But I still would rather not see that happen at all, because I do think this is a time for students to feel proud of what they've done in college and what they've done to succeed in their life.
I just have a few things. One, what's your email, or what's the best way to get a hold of you, so that way, as we move away from this meeting, if we have more brilliant ideas,
Yep. Mruble, so Mruble, at Gustavus, or you could send it to your advisor, who would be happy to forward it to me, I'm quite sure.
I just want to say that there was an idea of, like, limiting who in the organization can get cords, or, like, putting parameters on that. That makes me really uncomfortable. I would be uncomfortable if, like, only Senate leadership got cords, because I think the point is that everyone in the room is a leader, and I think that we say that leaders are everywhere and whatnot. So I would just highly caution that you had to have a position. Like, I thought of immediately in Greek life, like, that's a very egalitarian organization, and so even though there's leaders,
the point is that, you know, as a brotherhood or as a sisterhood, everyone is the same and is on an equal setting, and so we're giving chords. Anyways, I just think that if the concern is that it's lessening the distinction or the honor of the academic accomplishment, I don't see that as an issue, and I don't think it is, and I think it would be really antithetical to what we as Gustavus say is a Gustavus education if we're to say we're not going to recognize the accomplishments of your organizations. And if the problem is that it creates a really big pamphlet, then I just think that so far, from what I understand, the concerns are, I just don't think they outweigh that's worth acting upon, that's worth creating the strife that will happen within the student body, and I do think that's a time to celebrate, and to, if it seems goofy, what have you, it should be your kind of like your way to represent your 4 years, and I think students would be really hurt if that got changed. Any further thoughts? You have any other questions?
No, I don't think so. Like I said, I'm not a voting member of the AOC, so whatever decision, it's not mine. No, just kidding. So I will take you back to them, and I'm going to meet on Thursday with department heads in the Student Life Division. So, you know, all those places that issue a lot of these cords, right? The departments and the offices that help students get a lot of these cords to get their feedback, too. And then ultimately, faculty members are the only ones that vote on the Academic Operations Committee. And
the students.
Yes, and the student reps.
So you could also talk to your AOC student reps if you felt strongly.
Who are...
The one's name I don't know because he doesn't talk very much. The other one I know...
I can see him.
Okay.
But I don't think that I have his name right, so I don't want to say it because I think it would be somebody totally different that isn't him.
I can look up my list and send it to you tomorrow.
So for all of you, time is growing it's going past real quick. So I'd like to move to extend time to the end of, I guess, our agenda.
Is there a second? Senator Graham. All those in favor of saying the time to which you're adjourned to be at the end of the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Abstentions? So approved.
Someone in here can answer this. Does every department have a distinction? I don't know about that. Like, so, say French, Spanish.
Not all of them do.
So only a specific one. So only, it would only be like biology, history.
I don't think anybody knows the list.
Yeah, I don't know the specific list, but I think a lot of them are the Greek letter honor societies that are associated with those. So Tri Beta is associated with biology, Gamma Theta Upsilon with geography.
Okay.
So, so I think it has more to do with which have honor societies affiliated with them.
Okay. The next item on our agenda, Board of Trustees agenda items, just throwing it out there one more time. It is this week. Anything new? Anything we should be talking about? Any concerns? Anything coming up? Any woohoo? Awesome things? Senator Karras.
I guess, do you think that it would be pertinent maybe to discuss the key card situation that the community comment brought up?
No. Here's what I'll say. I think that that would not be an issue for the Board of Trustees unless there was some really weird happenstance moving forward. So if it got charged to our tech chair and he got a weird pushback from somebody in the institution, maybe, but I don't think that's a Board of Trustees concern yet because we haven't done anything with it yet.
Sure.
Did you say Senator Costello? Yes.
Okay. So there is still a fairly large push from the student body towards divestment. And along those lines, there's a conversation that's organized to happen around February 13th about climate change and the role Gustavus plays in that, and just like a discussion and ideas to move forward.
I'd kind of like to hear their opinion on this topic we just touched on regarding the honorary courts or graduation courts.
Okay.
So yes, because I know some are alumni, some members of board trustees are alumni, and obviously most, if not all of them, would have graduated from some institution, so they may be able to give input in regards to that.
Okay.
So yeah.
Yeah, just a comment on divest. I would say just be careful in conversation with them. I know having breakfast with them, with one of the board trustees members last year, it was during the big push for divest. And I don't want to like fuel a fire here, so I'm like choose my words wisely and like don't take too much out from it. But the member that I talked to, it was like they heard it loud and clear, saw everything that was going on campus. But like in his conversations with the other board members, there's just a financial side of it that I feel some students. Sure,
Whenever we bring any hot button issue as co-presidents, we always try to be as extremely tactful as possible and make sure that we represent every student and that there are concerns on a whole spectrum of perspectives.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah.